You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome back into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about, of course, the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes and now newly determined again next season, the West Indianapolis Community News. So I can say that really fast again for you every show. On the other line with me, my terrific co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, seems like forever since we've last talked.
I know it's been two whole weeks since we've last had a conversation over whatever you call this phone or whatnot, but it's good to be back. We're still in the boring, dull times of NBA season, but we're getting closer. We are getting very close. August is like halfway done, but right? We're at like the more than halfway mark. September, there's some stuff in September.
Easily the worst month.
Yeah, because right end of September, there's some preseason games, or are they more early October now, I guess? There's training camp.
Well, there's like training camp and dudes are – yeah, exactly. Exactly. But right now, we're stuck in the worst part of summer. I'm not really sure what there is, but thankfully, me and Adam haven't talked for a long time. The schedule came out, the preseason schedule came out, and we're going to go game by game predicting their record. It's going to be a total blast. But first, today, we have a little bit to talk about because so Oladipo had his basketball camp. Sylvia basketball camp up in Westfield. I had reporters there. It was great. And on the bright side of this whole thing, they asked him about his confidence about the next season. He said, playoffs for sure, definitely. And I don't think anyone's doubting that. But hearing it from the boss man himself is good. But Adam, some less exciting stuff going on later down. I guess we'll start with the young guys. The first thing that I saw that caught my eye, they were talking about locker room chemistry. And Jay Michael says, there was an unhappiness with younger players wanting more of a chance, while Coach Matt McMillan stuck with the older ones, which multiple sources told the Indy Star. Adam, this is in line with what you wanted all season.
Yes, I think this is – well, so I had two things that came out from the article. I mean, the first one was more just a – that they didn't really say any timeline for Oladipo still, but that's sort of kind of the hidden message in this.
Well,
but they just kind of said on track for 2019 season. But to your point about the reserve part, okay, go ahead.
You should freeze here because Mark Monteith also on site. I wasn't going to include this part because it wasn't actually like more info about the injury, but Vic in Monteith's story on Pacers.com said, Oladipo said he will soon return to his offseason base in Miami and then come back up to Indianapolis for the start of training camp in September. He doesn't know whether he'll be an immediate participant in camp, however. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to wait and see. That is more optimistic. Now, that could just be PR speak, but at the same time, like, that's kind of different than what we've heard. I don't know.
No, it's still the trend of just, like, not really telling, but just saying he's going to play at some point kind of. I don't know if it's any different. I think they gave a semi timeline, but it's always been kind of like this vague of December or January, maybe, or maybe late November. I don't, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Go back to the other
there's
thing.
Never been the set timeline for
that.
But I think that's the hidden message of the whole thing. But I think the real message is that, like, there was obviously some friction last year between, I would assume, was probably Aaron Holiday and maybe TJ Leaf about not getting minutes once everybody knew the season was over. Let's be real. Once Oladipo went down, they had no shot at winning any playoff series. Unless they were the three seed somehow, then maybe he convinced they could have won a playoff series, but it would have been tough still. And I can understand that because I think if you're a team that's going nowhere, the point is to play a rookie some minutes to give them chances to develop and whatnot. And so I understand that. But they also have now gone a bunch younger this year. So the team in general has sort of made this shift of, like, stop caring about this veteran talent, building a quality team to let's build a team we think can have a really high upside.
Yeah, and I think it's easier when it's a whole season. You can set your goals before the year with a younger team to say, okay, let's figure this out. Let's get really set up for the following year, especially with the Sabonis-Turner experiment.
Well,
go ahead.
And the whole team kind of changed, right?
Oh, totally.
When they traded Paul George, they had this mission of, we're going to just be decent, right? That was the goal. We're gonna have maybe a couple young guys. We're going to have a Turner, Sabonis, even though you didn't know what Sabonis was when they traded for him. But we're going to have some young guys, but we're going to have a lot of veteran talent who are going to kind of carry this team. And we're going to win. We're going to try to win 45 games, be the 7 or 8. That was the goal. They exceeded that by far. Got to 48 wins, got to the 4 or the 5 seed both seasons. Had shots at it being a top 4 seed with home court advantage both years. Yep. So that was kind of that's kind of what changed. But then they obviously decided, okay, now we have that young talent we think is actually – better than we thought 2 years ago. We have three you can kind of think of that young players. Holiday wouldn't count four. Let's add some guys who have some really good upside, and let's change the trajectory of the team.
Yep. Yeah, they went for it last year thinking they'd be really good, and they weren't when the injury happened. Yeah, I argued against playing the young guys most of the year, but they seem to be unhappy with my and the team's decision there. So you win this round, Friedman.
Yeah, I don't think they really went for winning last year, though. I think we both agree on that, right? They went, I mean, let's say winning at all. They went for like being a second round team, right?
Yeah. They tried to win a series and they weren't good enough.
Yeah, that was the goal last year. Last year, I don't think they just
weren't good enough.
That happens. I mean, if they had Vic, they probably would have been a three seed and probably could have won a first round series, I think. And we both agree on that.
Definitely. Oh, they could have beat Brooklyn. Absolutely, they could have beat Brooklyn. Next week, we'll talk about some win projections from other stuff, by the way, because Adam, they have the Magic as the 4 seed and the Pacers as the 7 seed at ESPN. But that is not here nor there. We're talking about something else. Also, an article, some Tyreke Evans stuff. He was on the verge of being cut several occasions, says J. Michael, until Thaddeus Young, Corey Joseph, and Darren Collison stepped in. Young, specifically, was mentioned here, says Young spoke openly about giving Evans guidance. So, trying to give him guidance, and then he ended up playing a lot of the year, including in the playoffs, where he actually was better than the regular season. Still not, and he was like not the worst player on the team in the playoffs. But yeah, it's very interesting that I wonder how much those go together. Where they're like, okay, Evans is having problems. Let's you know, he's not a team guy. Let's cut him and get these young guys minutes. And the vet said no, and then even more friction happens. It seems like he was a problem.
I mean, I think the suspension speaks for itself. When it comes to that, right? I mean, I think clearly in hindsight, if you could have said, oh, let's play guys and be out of the league at the end of the year or play Aaron Holiday, you would have played Aaron Holiday 9 times out of 10. But I think there was some hope that the money would pay out and maybe some – I mean, it seemed like it was the players more than the – you know, the manager, I could see management sort of being like almost arrogant way. Like, we signed this guy to a $14 million contract. We can't – or $12 million contract. We can't just let him walk. We can't just get rid of him mid-year. But – I don't know. I mean, I think there was all this hope holding out that he'd become the player he was in Memphis or he'd figure it out at some point, and clearly that just never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to try to peek into any of what was going on in his personal life, but just from a team perspective, having that overhanging also unhappiness about not playing, running at the same time had to be kind of awkward and tough, especially as they knew kind of hanging over like, okay, we're probably not good enough to win anything.
I think that really speaks actually to the team as a unit and how tough they were, that they could overcome the Oladipo injury, the Evans probably just being I hate to say cancer in the locker room in a way, and still win 48 games, still be a playoff team, still put up a fight in the first, like, it just showed how tough, I guess, the team kind of was internally. I mean, I think it showed a lot of credit to like Thaddeus Young and the Darren right. Collisons, who just were the leaders and kind of the professionals in that room. And they're going to be sorely missed for sure.
To defend the vets, this is literally the next paragraph of J. Michael's thing. It says, this kind of friction happens, especially with so many players on expiring contracts entering free agency. You know, of course, all those vets are like, no, dude, I'm getting paid this summer. I have to play. And that's where some of this happens too. Like,
yeah,
there was so much going on that I get what I don't think anyone was like mad. I just think everyone was like, oh, okay, this is kind of weird and tough.
What? And for not to spill over into the media too, at some point too, yeah. It's really just,
it's impressive.
I mean, it also goes to the coaching staff, who probably has this team sort of feeling like it's very, I have a problem we handle in-house,
right?
As like brothers in a way.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So that was super interesting. It's last season stuff, so it's not like, and all the guys involved pretty much are gone, except for the young guys, who it looks like they'll probably play to start the year. So it doesn't look like it's anything that will loom into next year. Loom? That's a bad word. That will pull up in next year, but we'll see.
No, loom is the right word. Loom
it
is
will
right
be
word.
Looming.
Loom be over. Looming. Loom over. Or loom this over. Very... Loom over the next season.
Yeah. I had an aside, but it doesn't matter. I thought that was interesting, but it's not here nor there. The here nor there is that there are basketball games, Adam. We have confirmation of basketball games. And this is like the sixth season in a row where the Pacers announced their regular season schedule before their preseason schedule, and I don't really get that. Not that it matters at all.
Probably because preseason isn't negotiated by teams versus,
I think so,
like,
I
by
think
a
so.
Formula.
I think so. Well, we already knew there's like the Timberwolves. Let me jump again. We knew the NBA game was happening, and the Timberwolves and Bulls had already released their preseason schedule. We knew all their games. Like, what are we waiting for?
I don't know.
Anyway, this doesn't matter at all. So that's it. They play the Kings twice in India, 9:30 in the morning. Games, that's going to be very, very interesting. 8:30 for you, and then 7 o'clock on October 11th against the Bulls at home, and October 15th at home against Timberwolves. That's it. The India stuff is interesting. Maybe I don't know how in depth we can go here, Adam, but Caitlin Cooper has been tweeting stuff about how the teams that go overseas maybe not struggle, but play below their peak to start the year after having to, you know, be across so many time zones like 2 weeks before the season starts. I think there might be something to that, especially, you know, in India, 12-hour difference, basically.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, how many weeks before is an India game? I'm trying to look it up real quick.
It's the same as every year, I think.
Or isn't
so
it
the
like,
first game's the 22nd, so like 19 days.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at some point you sort of – first of all, you have a game plan when you figure – right? So like the team is going to come up in India, and they're going to have a plan of how to get guys back on a schedule. So I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, and on October 4th, you know, they'll probably – they have to display the good players there in India. So they'll see the full strength teams. But there's no way on the second game like any of the starters or – our important guys are going to play.
Yeah, and they might even do a thing where they play like half the starters first game, half the starters second game kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Just to...
Well, yeah, and the Kings are in the same boat, right? They have playoff aspirations. I'm sure they're going to make okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just think 19 days between games, I don't really buy that having an effect on them, I guess.
You would think, but it's happened to the other teams in the same way. So,
I mean, I don't know. That might be something where, what is it? What does Nate Silver call it? Like more signal in the noise, for example, where like it just happens that those teams have bad starts because they're just teams that have bad starts, not necessarily because of the India game
maybe.
Or
maybe
China game
maybe.
Or the whatever game
it's
they
data
play.
That we have. It is data that we have. We'll find out.
That's like the overuse of data in this culture.
Oh, I don't know. Wow, calling you don't agree with overuse of data seems like a brash maneuver.
No, but it's kind of the stats that I feel like you don't have as much bearing as like, I wonder what other things you could pull up into that to figure out this, get the same results. That's all
Tom
I mean,
Brady
right?
on Monday like, night on the road with whatever, you know, whatever.
Well, right. Like if you put together a certain set of criteria, you can get to the same data, but it might be something else. Like it might be the fact that if you put it together and those teams played four of their first eight games on the road or sure. whatever, you know, I don't know. You could just, that's how you could do it too in a way.
I don't so want to ignore
that's
it.
That's what I mean, overuse of data.
You know what? The fact that other fans of teams have talked about it, I haven't looked, but I want to see if like other players have had quotes like, oh, man, we're like exhausted from going to China or whatever. But I didn't look into that. I have nothing to say there. Their other games, October 11th against the Bulls at home. Thaddeus Young's defiant return. That'll be fun. And then the last game against the Timberwolves on October 15th. It's like last year. We'll see about 2 minutes of starters and then a bunch of bench guys. Especially because there'll be those dudes on Exhibit 10s who I guess they're not really fighting for a roster spot, but they'll be looking to show what they can do. So, yeah, that's the preseason. That's it. No real bearing. How far into the schedule should we go this segment, Adam? How much do you want to do here?
For preseason? Oh, for just the normal schedule? You want
to? No, we're getting going. Regular season time.
All right. I mean, do you want to take a break and then just go right through it? Because we're about 12 minutes in.
Heck no. Let's get going. We'll do a break in a minute.
Okay. So what do you explain? I'll explain what we're doing. So we're going to go through every game on the schedule and do win-loss. And then we're going to come at the end and see our win-loss records.
Yes, and I think looking at it like from a back-to-backs this way, and then we'll see like, oh, this is the long home stretch or who will be back. I think that will be a good way to really feel out the schedule and get my official win number. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so you want to just do the first four real quick and then we'll take a break?
First? Yeah, October. We'll just finish out October. Game one, opening up at home against the Detroit Pistons. They're probably as good as Detroit without Vic. They're at home, opening night. Feel like, you know, there's not really like a rest advantage. I'm giving them a W there.
I'm gonna do the same. I think that's a good start to the season. I don't think you don't lose that first game at home. I feel like.
Yeah, that would not look good.
Yeah.
Although Detroit does own them a lot, so that you know, I think Detroit is a tough opponent. We'll see.
Detroit owned them in the Tobias Harris years, not right now.
Yeah, that is true. Last year they did not own them, so you have a good point. Game two in Cleveland. Cavs are terrible. Terrible. I think they're going to be the worst team in the NBA. It's the Cavs home opener, which last year, if you recall, Pacers caught the Bucks on a home opener and an arena opener and got waxed. But the Q is still the Q. There's no new arena. The Cavs are going to be butt. I think we're both in agreement here. Win.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are the second worst team to be behind the 70s or the Suns. Sorry. I meant to say Suns.
I wish you had said it just so I could have clipped it and said Adam's bold take.
Suns.
Game. Yeah, the Suns are going to be bad too. I think the Hornets have a chance too.
That's fair.
Game three. In Detroit, Again, like I said, these teams are pretty even. I don't have back-to-backs for the other teams. I wish I did, but that would have been a lot of setup on the Excel doc for this. Anyway, assuming Detroit is not on a back-to-back, which I don't think they are because they actually opened the season on a back-to-back, I think this is going to be tough. You know, like I said, they're pretty evenly matched on the road. Revenge from the first game. They'll have a blueprint putting them in the loss column for the first time of the year.
I did the same.
Game four. Brooklyn's probably going to be, I think, the team, them or Toronto, that come the end of the year is going to be the seeding battle. So that makes this game very important. October 30th in Brooklyn. I think this one's going to be tough. Brooklyn still being healthy could be interesting. Oh, they could be bad early in the year. They could be good. They have Kyrie now. But they won't have Durant. So I don't know what to do about this one. But I think the Nets are going to be, you know, fun and good at the end, the beginning of the year. And I will give the Nets the win there.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn is going to be very good next year. Let's put it that way. And they're motivated. I think Kyrie's going to be motivated to have a good year. I don't know if they'll be playoff good. I don't know. But I think they're just going to be, I mean, they're basically the same team last year and they upgraded from Russell to Kyrie. I mean, that's an upgrade.
Yeah, that is partially true. Yeah, that's true.
You know, Kyrie's kind of just coming into a team. He's not necessarily like just restarting. I mean, the next year when they
have right. Well, DeAndre's bad. DeAndre Jordan is bad.
Well, so much he plays.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how much he'll play. But yeah, you know, Joe Harris is a beast. Does well against the Pacers. Caris LeVert will get better. Of course, they have Kyrie Irving now. Yeah, they're still a talented roster. So yeah, I'll pick Brooklyn on the road there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to the end of you have to type an L, Adam.
I didn't hit enter, my bad.
We have this sheet that I can see what he's doing. That's a tough month. And by a tough month, I mean they play three road games and only one home game. But the opponents aren't super hard. I mean, if Brooklyn is your hardest opponent, then that is what it is. Yeah, that's a good start. We're both at 2-2. Any overarching takes so far before we go to our first break? Because we already talked about some other stuff.
No, I think early on it's just – I guess I'm picking based on what I feel like who the better teams are early on, I guess. There's not like any trend I see yet right now. I mean, when we hit a certain point, I think we'll start talking about certain teams' records and can they beat that team kind of thing.
All right, yeah, I'll ask one question before we take a break here. Would any record at this stage of the season be alarming to you? Just 0-4 probably?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you'd be alarmed by 0-4 depending on how the four lost. I think the Cavs lost. That would concern me. 1-3 really wouldn't. It's 0-5.
Well, game five, if they lose game five and go to 0-5, then they'll be alarmed. And what is game five? We'll talk about it in a second. So game five is at home against that Cavs team that we just talked about being terrible. Not a back-to-back. Yeah, they should definitely win that game.
Yeah, I think that's one competition. I think the next one they should win, too.
If they're 0-5 at that point, we have a problem. Yeah, the next game, Chicago at home as well. Chicago might be pretty good this year. I'm probably going to not like playoff good, but like 32 wins good.
Frisky good.
Yeah. Yeah, they got good vets. Their young guys will get good. They'll be good enough, especially because they played them tough last year. Remember, the Bulls were close to beating the Pacers twice. So it could be tough, but not at this point. So I agree with you to win. All right, Charlotte, the worst team ever.
Is this your worst team in the league?
Yeah, them or Cleveland.
Okay.
But early in the year, Charlotte's going to be horrible because they won't know what for some reason watching Adam do the Wizards before I even finished talking about the Hornets was funny.
Well, you just, I mean, the three worst teams in the league next year might be the Wizards.
I know. Cavs. Yeah. Yeah. They got Cavs and Charlotte and Washington in a short stretch. They're all going to be bad. So Adam, I can't talk you out of the Wizards on a back-to-back being a little tougher. Isaiah Thomas and Bradley Beal doing some stuff.
What?
That's their game after Charlotte. It's a back-to-back.
I know. You just said Isaiah Thomas and Bradley Beal in the same sentence.
They have Isaiah Thomas and Bradley Beal.
I understand that, but you just said Isaiah Thomas, who I think hasn't been good since he 2017.
I'm just saying hypothetically. Yeah. All right, this is boring so far. We both have the 6-2 Pacers. Pistons at home here. What you got? What you thinking?
I'm thinking L. I think Pistons are going to be decent, and I think without Vic and – it's weird they play them three times in what is 15 days, which is too stupid for a division team and could hurt them in the long run.
Dude, they're done with Detroit by December 6th.
Vic might not even play any of those games. I mean, that's like
that's great for the Pistons.
Where they played Detroit four times before the Christmas one year.
Last year they did it too, yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. Must be because of scheduling with their stadium, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they won this one. If they're rolling, I think they won this one.
I think they lose it. I don't know.
Coming in hot, though, 2 days later. Pacers killer Terrence Ross in Orlando. I think the Magic are going to be, yeah, you agree with me here. I think the Magic are going to be better than last year. They kept their guys. At worst, they're the same. They beat the Pacers three times last year. That's a loss. OKC is an interesting opponent. That's next.
So is this the worst team in the league?
No way. They have Chris Paul and Gallinari and Steven Adams. They're still good.
Okay.
I actually think the Thunder are going to be good.
If you took Chris Paul,
if they are.
Are they good?
If they're actually playing CP3, I think they'll be good. If CP3, I'm putting this as an L because I think CP3 is going to play, and he's very good, and Gallo is good, and Steven Adams kills the Pacers because he's just a monster on the glass. Although the Thunder could look totally different next year. The guys that could look different there.
I think
and Roberson's good, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is good. They're good. I like this. I like what the Thunder have done.
I think it's a home game and a win. I don't think OKC's that great. I mean, I think Chris Paul is obviously – I don't know. I don't know where he's going to be at. That's the problem. Are we sure he's even good anymore?
Right.
He fit with Steven. What makes Steven Adams so good, too, is that him and Westbrook have this chemistry going on or had it for a while.
Yeah.
Every other guy you named, I mean, Gallo also, will he even be healthy at this point? I mean, this guy's a walking around paper mache.
There's a lot of questions with the Thunder, and I'm sure there's just some, like, ooh, shiny new team going on for me, but I kind of like what they could be.
I think if we're in Oklahoma City, I'd probably put an L, but a home game against OKC, I think, is a win.
Next one's easy. Next one is very easy. Let me phrase that. The next two are easy because this is crap. They go to Houston, have to play Harden, who put up 36 a game last year. Now, Houston could be a total disaster if Russ and Harden doesn't work at all, but I think it's going to be fine. Houston's going to be good. Then they travel home from back-to-back with the other MVP, the actual MVP, Giannis, the next day. So it's a home game, but it doesn't matter because it's a back-to-back, so it might as well not be. Two losses in a row on that back-to-back, and that's four straight losses for me as they travel to Brooklyn, who I still think they're going to lose to.
Yeah, I think it's a loss as well. So I'm looking
at start plus. Crumbles down by mid-November here.
Well, so at this point, it's probably locker room talk. Now we're probably starting to hear is Vic back. So we're starting at that point where are we hearing the grumbling of Vic return?
Well, this is a good time. Well, yeah, I'm sure we're going to say, oh, I hope he comes back soon. But their next four games are all at home against not awesome teams.
That's fair. So that should help. So maybe, I mean, I think,
yeah.
Is it fair?
Orlando, they can beat at home. They beat them at home once last year.
Is it fair to do what I just did? Four straight wins?
No, I think they'll lose one of these. And I think it's obvious which one it is. Next up is Memphis, who's going to be like the Suns, one of the worst teams in the West. Playing a bunch of young guys. Rookie point guards are terrible, unless they're Chris Paul or Magic Johnson or Ben Simmons. So unless John Morant is way better than I think he'll be this year, that's a win. The Jazz are really good. Bojan return game will be fun, but I'm taking Utah. And then the Hawks in town, another young team, which Trae Young is awesome. But last year they beat the Hawks with like their backups to the backups playing on the last night of the year. So, yeah, that one's easy.
We should go to the Hawks game. That's Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah, if you'll be here. I might not. If I am, I'll go. That'd be fun.
I might be home on Wednesday, too, so we can talk about going there, too.
Yeah, so we can go to the Jazz game. I'll be at the Jazz game with David, Adam. Come on, man.
Oh, that's right. Maybe I could do that.
You could go this year. It's your turn.
They'll beat the Jazz. They owned the Jazz last year. They were in their headspace the entire
time. They did smoke the Jazz last year.
I combined like 55 points. I think they win all four of those. I don't know. Home stretch.
That'd be huge. They smoked the Jazz last year. All right. November 30th, end of the month, back-to-back against the team that just they match up so poorly with, the Philadelphia 76ers. They played Philly okay two times in losses last year, and they beat them once, but Philly's just better, and yeah, that one's easy. On a back-to-back, done. But thankfully, they get 2 days off after that before going to Memphis. Do you think they'll have any trouble in Memphis like last year when Bruno Caboclo killed them?
No, I was at that game, Tony. The one road game I've been to a Pacers game forever. I attempted to put an L.
Wow.
I don't know. It's a home game for Ja. Wow. 2 months in, with how good he is. I don't know.
We've reached the 20-game mark here. Me and Adam both have him at 11-9, which is great.
It's going to get pretty
We're at December 4th, so now I'm going to put him at – do what you did and just put him at an L to Oklahoma City.
This is a weird stretch. Four in a row at home and five in a row on the road.
Yeah, they have no five-game homestands and 3 5-game road trips, which is interesting. At OKC, we just talked about them. That's probably a loss. At Detroit, as we talked about, probably a loss. Then the Knicks, we're going to stink. But it's a road back-to-back. So maybe the Knicks could squeak that out. I'm thinking about that one. Because this will be right about the we need Vic back time.
I'm thinking one of those – someone on the team will have one of those like Madison Garden nights. one of the Lambs or the Warrens or
I'm going against you here. Road back to backs are insanely hard, no matter who your second opponent is.
Or Sabonis has like 60 this time. I mean
30 without missing last year. And they only won by that game by like 5.
Yeah. That was that early stretch that got scary real fast.
So I copied this from ESPN and I can't tell. Okay, this is the Clippers. This LA listed here is the Clippers. Sorry, I know that was confusing.
Although I'm not sure it really mattered. Both LA teams are
so true. I probably would have picked the loss here either way. Yeah, I guess I should pull up the Clippers schedule because they'll probably load manage. So if it's a back-to-back for them, maybe. But yeah.
That team was still without Kawhi last year.
So now, after this four-game losing trip, I have them at 11-13. Adam's got them at 12-12. So tough stuff coming up before Vic's return, which I have a specific date set up and we're close to it. So let's just get there. Next game's at home for Boston. That'll be tough, but yeah, Boston owned them last year. And then at Atlanta, they'll need the win. That's tough in Atlanta, but I'll give them the win there. They'll be better than Atlanta they were last year. Pause, Adam. Pause. You're jumping ahead on the sheet here.
Okay. All right.
This is the date for me.
Oh, where are you at?
This is my Vic date, December 15th.
That's not mine.
I don't really have a reason other than December, January. It's right in the middle. And there's 3 home games in a row. And also, there's 2 back-to-backs in very short succession right after this. And I think that'd be a good time to kind of show both your fans and the rest of the roster what it's going to look like when he's not playing back-to-backs. So I think this is – and it's a, I don't know, maybe not because it's a Sunday, but I think this is my guess for a Vic return date.
No.
And you can ease him in against a crap Charlotte team.
I think you're – 16 days early. I have it in my mind, but
okay.
We'll get there.
Well, I will still give him a win against Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, I don't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, it could influence our decision making in these next couple games. Their next game is against the Lakers.
It's lost no matter what to me.
Man, without Boogie, I don't know if they're going to be any good. That was a bad joke. Yeah, that's a loss.
So LeBron is notorious for not playing against Indiana, so maybe that's true. They can win.
His biggest loss of all time was in Indiana last year. Should we not weigh that in?
Yeah, I mean, he hates playing in Indiana. I don't know why.
I'm still picking the Lakers.
Yeah. So the Kings,
this next game's interesting because the Kings could be good. And if Vic wasn't playing, I'd pick the Kings here. But I have him playing. So I think they're going to win.
I have him losing. So you're fine. Kings are good. Yeah, I'm losing still.
De'Aaron Fox is awesome. If you're not watching USA Basketball, please watch it because De'Aaron Fox is just kicking ass. Next game's in Milwaukee. Milwaukee owns them. That's a loss. Then traveling home for Toronto, who's going to be as good as them, but it's a back-to-back. That's a loss. Christmas time. How are we doing at Christmas?
So this is where I think Vic returns, and here's why. Because Miami is where he basically lives. I know Eddie. He can get the comfort of maybe they send him down a week early, let him train with his trainers, whatever it is, and this is where he comes back, sits out the next night, makes his home return on the 31st.
I like that. It's a back-to-back. Okay. In Miami, you'll think he returns. On a Friday night, that'd be cool.
Well, I think it's like the perfect kind of post-Christmas. He comes back. What are their national – this is not a national TV game, right? This is not one
no,
of
the – No, their first national TV game isn't until February.
But this could be flex, maybe. We could see, I mean, who knows? It's a
sure. time. If he's back or not, they are just – well, they were better than Miami last year. They just had their number. Jimmy Butler does help them quite a bit, but Josh Richardson's really good. I'm not sure how good the Heat are going to be. I'm taking a win in this game if Vic is back, especially. So, yeah. And then the next game at – wow. I'm totally disagreeing with you there. New Orleans is next.
Always going to pop – are going to go off again.
That's true. It's the first holiday. That's funny that it's right after Christmas. How many times is that pun going to be made that game? My goodness. In New Orleans on a back-to-back from Miami. New Orleans is going to be good. They've got good players.
I'm not buying New Orleans going to be good, to be honest. I'm not.
Well, I'm buying it. I am buying it.
I think 35, 30 for the wins.
So here's the last game before the New Year. Always fun New Year's Eve game against the Sixers. If Vic's playing, I might pick a win there, but I don't know for sure. I think I will. That was their one last year when Miles flipped off the crowd. So hopefully we get some fun action like that.
That's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how they're going by then. This is the hardest part about this exercise, and the part that makes it not perfect is like we're not going to see what kind of injuries are going to happen as the year goes on. All right, we've hit January. Should we get halfway through before we do a break? Because that's like halfway through the year.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Oh, let's just get to 41 games. We're at 34.
Oh, okay. That's fine with me.
Okay, so next up versus Denver at home. played well against Denver last year at home, didn't they? Did they beat them last year?
At home.
I can't remember.
2 years ago they did. Last year, I don't know.
Yeah, 2 years ago was that sick overtime game where Vic had like 40-something.
Yeah. I don't know about last year.
I can't remember. I feel like they won one of them. They beat him 124-88 in March in their brutal stretch. I remember that now.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you for playing. All right, win. There you go. Jokic is a beast, but for some reason doesn't really kill the Pacers that often. Next game in Atlanta. Yeah, they'll probably win that. And next game after that is in Charlotte. Once again, they'll probably win that. Charlotte's not very good. Back to the winning record at that point, which is great. Then they come home for the Heat. Another win. Don't think the Heat are very good. That's 5 wins in a row, which they needed.
I got 6, right? I got 7 right now.
You got 7 in a row. At Chicago could be another win.
I think that's a win, too.
Wow. Look at this stretch of time we have here. I also will give them one there. Then versus Philly. Yeah, I'll take Philly. Philly's going to beat them eventually. They beat them at home both times last year.
So I'm wondering, at this point, they're on a seven. Do they just – is this like a post-Vic high, right? They're 7-0, quick return. There's like this talk of is he like – they're like, you know what I mean? There's just like this, all this talk. I think they beat Philly.
And then in Minnesota in January, it's going to be the coldest day. It's going to be awful. Pat Boylan was joking on the sideline, guys. He's like, ooh, Minnesota on January 15th. That doesn't look too fun. I mean,
Denver on January 19th is much better.
Yeah, they got their most brutal stretch right after we get through this halfway point. Game number 40 in Minnesota. I will join you in giving them the loss. Cat just owns the Pacers.
41. 41.
No, that was game 40. Now it's game 41. Oh, that was 41. No, I am stupid. All right.
Do some math.
Halfway point.
I think they lose. The 9-game win streak I have going is over.
Here we go. So halfway point, I got him at 21 wins. Adams got him at 23. That shows a lot of the no Vic challenges. Although their easiest stretch is coming up soon. Speaking of coming up, we're going to analyze that stretch after a short little break here. So it's easy to switch to the next part of the break because their next game is versus the same team they just played beforehand, the Minnesota Timberwolves, this time at home. They beat him at home last year, even though Cat had like 40-something. He's easily their best player. They lost in Mini last year, although Jimmy Butler did play, if I recall. Remember that? That's crazy.
I think you're flipping that. Didn't they beat Minnesota? No, you're right. You're right.
No, they got that's unlucky and had to play Minnesota with Butler last year.
That's right. They lost to Minnesota with that. Was it Okogie? Okogie? What's
Josh Okogie. He's good, man. That kid's good.
Yeah, he killed them. Remember, right?
I'll give him a win at home, though. They got him last year. Okay. So before we do this next stretch, it's a 5-game road trip that starts off with the most ridiculously brutal impossible back-to-back of all time. The two altitude teams on back-to-back nights on the road. What the heck is that?
This happened last year, didn't it, too?
Yeah, it's awful. They beat Denver in it last year, too. It's at Denver, immediately followed by at Utah, is just brutal. Yeah. Especially when they're both really good this year.
Yeah, that's a scheduling just like, let's make
it. That's just mean. Yeah. Wind out of your sails if you have any momentum going into that. Thankfully, they get Phoenix after that. And Phoenix is bad. But then they get at Golden State, at Portland, who are both going to be good. Golden State. What's up? That's what I was going to say, Klay Thompson.
Is he playing or not? Probably not, right?
I don't think it matters for my result, but I would say, yeah, dude, he looks pretty good. He's having a great offseason. I just saw a video of him surfing.
Was he 4 months? No, he's
torn ACL's not really holding him down.
He's 2 months post-surgery, I'm assuming.
So Portland is after that. Portland's going to be good. They made the conference finals last year. They got better this summer. They maintained this summer, at least.
They're good. Portland's good.
Blazers there. Dame always goes off. Thankfully, all right, Adam.
Dame owns the post. This is like the post all-star break pick, too. So this is like the post all-star choosing. That's when Dame starts to go off.
So, Adam, look at this highlighted stretch I have for you on the left. After that Portland game, from January 27th through February 20th, they only have one road game. They only have to leave Indy one time for almost 25 days, and they don't have that many tough opponents. This is a huge time to get back on track because we both have them. I have them one game below 500. You have them a few over. This is a good time to go on a big run of wins. No back-to-backs in there either. I guess there is. Oops, just one.
Yeah.
So they open with Chicago. We think they're going to win that one. That's pretty easy. Same with the next game, which is the Knicks. After that is Dallas, who could be good, but I think they can beat Dallas at home. Then they go that road game to Toronto. Yeah, Toronto's tough for me, Adam, right here, because this is trade deadline time. So are they trading away guys right now?
Probably not. They're probably taking a victory lap here.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know. Who did the, I mean, so Gasol's still on the team, right?
Lowry, Siakam, will be good.
The problem is none of those contracts are tradable because how can you make the salaries work with a good team?
They're expirings, though.
Yeah, but they're $30 million a match. Just how do you match that in terms of the
room? I don't know.
Very hard. It's very hard to do while still remaining a good team. You know what I mean? Not a lot of teams have like three $10 million guys and give up.
I'll give them a loss in Toronto, and then they come back home, beat Toronto, beat New Orleans, beat the Nets because they're about as good as the Nets. We inform here, KD still be around.
I think they lose to the Pelicans because it's back-to-back, but then they win against Brooklyn.
I'm giving them their one win against Milwaukee for the year here, too.
I don't think they beat Milwaukee at all this year.
Milwaukee is so good.
I think they beat them once. They don't have a guy.
They beat them once last year.
Yeah, this team.
I think the stretch is so crucial for them that
Thaddeus Young had his best defending game of his life. That's why they beat him.
They don't have a guy. Yeah, without him, it'll be tougher, that's for sure. But losing Brogdon's going to hurt them. We'll see. Returning from the break with the Knicks is nice, too.
Yes, it is.
I think they'll win that one. Then they got in Toronto again, who they just lost to, assuming no trades again. It's hard to project that. That's a loss for me.
I think they win next Toronto. I think they split that one.
I got them no wins in Toronto this year for me.
I got them one. I mean, I don't think – I mean, they almost won Toronto last year for what, Bojan didn't make that mistake.
They did not win in Toronto last year.
No, they almost did. They were up by a
should have.
Then Bo got double.
Yeah, no foul call.
Whatever it was.
Bogus, no foul call at the end.
Yeah.
Then Charlotte, the free win Hornets popping in.
They're going to lose twice to Charlotte. We're going to look idiots.
The Dan Burke game, baby. Then Portland, who they never beat. I'm giving a loss there.
Yeah, they never
then
beat.
Then Adam, pause before this next game.
Okay.
Should be an easy win at Cleveland next. However, can we predict anything normal happening on the leap day?
Oh, that's true. Plus, they always lose to Cleveland once a year for some stupid
reason. I think I saw from Kent Sterling and Weed Hotchkiss, who did the research on this, which is hilarious, that they're like 3-2 all time on leap day, which is funny.
So, wait. Well, 16, 12, 8, 4, 2000, 96, 92, 88, 84, 80, 76. They played.
They've only 11. Played five times. You're doing a lot here.
I know, but there's only been 11 times to play on leap year since they've been in the NBA. So, I'm just throwing out
right,
there.
Right. Yeah, I'll still give them the win, though. The Cavs are not very good.
Yeah. They own San Antonio.
Took till March for them to get to the Spurs. Yeah, they beat the Spurs in San Antonio last year. I think the Spurs I'm not as confident as you on that one right away.
They own them for some reason. They have.
They lost to them last year one time, did they not?
Didn't they beat them in San Antonio?
They won in San Antonio and lost at home.
But they somehow just always win in San Antonio.
Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm picking a loss. And then Milwaukee, lost.
No, I thought that was 2 years ago they swept Golden State.
They did not. They swept them 2 years ago. That's correct, because Vic hit the sick three on, like, the second game of the season.
Yeah.
Then Chicago. Here's the one. I'll give the Bulls one.
I agree with you there.
Especially on a road trip at Dallas to close out the road trip. Fifth game of a road trip is always tough. I'll go loss.
But Dallas, I think, is going to be frisky. They're going to have some good talent.
Back home for one game. They have one home game in seven. They got Boston, though. I think, okay, you were with me there.
Yeah.
Get a win when you go back home.
With Vic back, they own Boston. They just needed Vic back.
That's true. Then they have 4 days off before going to Philly. Don't think it matters how long they have off. Besides that, they just went on a long road trip, but Philly's better.
I think this feels like the kind of – what at this point? What's the record at this point? This is the point where I have 8 games above 500 where they're kind of competing maybe for a top three seed. Maybe Philly's hanging around with them. I don't know. I feel like
– seeding battle is on.
They win in Philadelphia last year. They beat them in.
Then four more days off. Can you believe that? From the 10th to the 18th, they play twice.
Last year in March, and the last 2 months, they played every other day, it felt like, the past 2 Marches.
Yeah. Compared to last year, this March is a cakewalk. Then Golden State at home. That's a hard one. Curry, Draymond, and Klay will be playing then. I'm taking the Warriors. Then the Wednesday, right after that, they get the Heat. How are you feeling about the Heat at this point in the year? They'll probably be battling for seeding, but at home. Pacers. Ooh, Adam with the loss.
They always lose to Miami in some stupid fashion at home every year.
They didn't last year. And they don't have noted Pacers. Well, not last year wasn't. But at one time, Pacers killer Hassan Whiteside is no longer on their team.
So was it 2 years ago they got that game where they shot 1 of 18 and lost to them at home?
Yeah, that's true.
They always lose to Miami in some stupid fashion some way or not.
I completely forgot about that. That was awful. Next game's the Cavs at home. I can tell you what that one's going to be.
I'm not going to lose it.
But wait, it could ramp back up. The next game's Phoenix at home.
So much tougher.
I just closed out of the sheet on accident.
Of course that's you great. Did. Phoenix.
I don't know how I did.
Murderers row back to back. They could lose to Cleveland because Cleveland, like I said, they always a stupid game to Cleveland. But I think I'll take my chance.
Miami, Cleveland, Phoenix homestand just in the middle of like the playoff push is so nice.
Yeah, they have a nice schedule. It goes kind of.
Another one here. I'm going to go the opposite as you. At Orlando, March 25th, they'll be fighting for playoff spots. Orlando's good. Vooch is. Kicked Turner's ass a few times last year, taking Terrence Ross and the Magic. Did they come back home for James Harden? That's a loss. James Harden. James Harden might be in the battle for the one seed at that time.
Yeah.
This is so hard because, like, who's going to be healthy? What are other teams' records going to be? But we can only assume what we know. All right. Then they go to Sacramento. That'll be a loss. They're good. To L.A. for the Clippers. That'll be tough. On my birthday in LA for the Lakers, that'll be tough. But then they can relax. The rest of their schedule does not feature any very tough games. Home for Brooklyn on the April 3rd. That's a win. We talked about how even they'll be. Home on the April 5th for the Wizards. The Wizards stink. At Miami, that one could be hard. I'm not sure. This is the front end of a back-to-back. They'll have to get one. I'll go win against Miami. Loss in Boston on the next night.
I agree with you on that one. I much right. They could beat Boston. It's a brutal little turnaround.
Then three more. Orlando at home. I'll finally give them an Orlando win for the first time this year. San Antonio at home. They're probably even with the Spurs. Already lost once. And then closing in Washington against the pathetic Wizards with a win. Adam with 47-35. Tony with 43-39. That was close to what we both said on our win prediction mailbag.
Yeah. It's worth noting that I'm looking at 538. I think it's the ESPN one. We'll say their pitches go 40-42 on that one.
Yeah, the ESPN uses RPM. They've got them lower. They have Vic at about 1,100 minutes or something like that. Kevin Pelton released his minutes. Pretty good. PIPM has him at about 44, 43, I believe. Vegas has him at 47. They're more in line with you. And I'm missing one. Oh, 538, you just said, has 40. Those are the big four that have come out so far.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in the middle.
538 has two projections. They have their Carmelo and their Elo. Elo has them at 42 and 40. The Carmelo has them on the opposite of that, 40 and 42.
Okay. Yeah, Carmelo is low on Brogdon's impact compared to a lot of other stats, which I think is very interesting.
It's worth noting, though, all these have them making the playoffs at a comfortable 60%, 65% on these. So.
Yeah, the drop from 8 to 9 still in the East for a lot of these guys, or like 9 to 10 actually is pretty big. But yeah, I think they'll be a playoff team. And even if they deal with some injuries, like 43, they can keep up to that. I don't know.
Well, and so the question becomes: if they get
a little bit of wiggle room,
if they're the seventh seed, is Philly the one's likely two seed?
Yeah, you got to avoid Philly, Milwaukee in the first round,
right? Because who's the three seed then? I'm talking Boston, and then Toronto, Brooklyn.
Assuming the Pacers are the seventh seed, I would say the order after that's probably like some combo of Toronto, Brooklyn, and Miami.
So I think you're really hoping to be the sixth seed, right? That's the goal. If you
play Boston,
yeah. If you're not trying with 7 or 8, I mean, so like if I'm looking at some of these projections, I think it has them around that spot, anyways. One,
I think if it's possible, the first round opponent I would like or prefer as like they can win this is Brooklyn, unless KD is back, in which case absolutely not Brooklyn. In which case, I would change my answer to Toronto.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. So it looks like a lot of these have the Pacers being a 5 seed again in some of these projections.
Yeah, that's fine. I drove past an exit sign. I tweeted this. I don't know how many of you saw it already. It was called the two towns were Rankin and Fithian. So it was an omen.
I mean, to me, if they drew somebody like Orlando be the 4 seed this year, you think at all? Like, are they good enough to do that?
If Orlando's the 4 seed, though, like they've been good.
Yeah, but if they're the 4 seed, take me Pacers 5 versus them because they've been in the playoffs the past 2 years in Orlando.
Yeah, that's true. And the Magic only won one game in the playoffs last year. They're not really proven. It's just if they get the 4 seed, like things will have had to go right for them. Like they'll have shown they're a good team.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think we have to take into account is Vic being back for the playoffs at full strength.
Yep.
Like against Orlando, is he the best player on the court? Probably.
Health permitting, they will be a better team than their record indicates in the playoffs for sure, just because he's back.
Yeah, I mean, Boston, is he the best player on the court in that series? Depends where Tatum. No. If Tatum's made his leap, then maybe not. But
yeah, Tatum. Well,
is Kemba better?
Kemba was better than him last year, even healthy. Both healthy, Kemba was better.
I mean, I don't think he was healthy at all last year for a single second. Look at it realistically. So I don't know. Touché. Was Kemba since
last year? Vic was better. So
right. Yeah, so that's Vic's the best player. Now that doesn't mean much. Having the best player on the court, pitched the best player on the court for a couple of years with Paul George and never won. So it doesn't necessarily matter.
The conference finals.
Yeah, I mean, so I mean that's the question.
Yep.
Is having Vic the best player on the court? I mean, against Philly, he's not, right? Joel probably is, for sure.
What was your litmus test last year? Best player, best coach, best depth, or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
For Boston, because they'll have the best depth probably against most playoff teams.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, they have 11 good, like, useful players.
Yeah, we'll see how the chemistry works with the guys. And that's the way it's
Yeah.
I think the schedule is favorable to them getting somewhere in the mid-40s because it kind of – there's no like 2 month brutal stretch here.
Right.
Start off super tough or super hard, like, or super easy. So I don't know. It's just nice.
There's no punishing time and there's no cakewalk time except for, to me, that little break in the middle of February.
Well, and it's worth noting, I think we both have them on these West Coast road trips going like 1-4 both times, something like that. Yep. In the past couple of years, they've gone at least 3-2 on both their West Coast road trips, I believe.
They do well on those, yeah.
So. I mean, that's where they make up the difference in your record to being a 46-win team, you know, by going 3-2 instead of 1-4 both those. Also, they're a 47-win team, stuff like that. So there's room in him for here to really succeed. We'll have to see what the top team – I mean, I assume the Bucks and Sixers will win 55-plus games, but I'm not sure anybody else can really do that. And I'm not even sure the 76ers will, because is Embiid going to play more than 60 games? What is Simmons going to be? Are they going to be a 50-win team? But they're going to be good still, but they're going to be like a not a regular season good team at least.
Yep. Yeah. Like, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
There's so much in limbo that it's really hard for me to like get a perfect read. But this was this exercise actually helped me, though.
For all we know, Vic will play like November 3rd, and then we'll be like, oh.
Okay. Throw this out the window at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I think Christmas time is what makes sense to me. It's when the real season starts anyways. And it's when the NBA actually starts.
That would be nice. One more thing I'd like to plug here at the end, Adam, unrelated to the Pacers, kind of.
Okay.
Football back. Go check out Locked On Colts.
Yeah.
Should I throw that in?
Andrew Luck is doing it over there, guys. It's concerning.
I didn't want to bring up his name because it's all any indie sports anything is talked about, and I was hoping we could refresh people from that.
I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's the biggest.
I know he is the biggest thing.
You know. It's the biggest name indie sports guy. With an injury once again. I mean, it's not, you can't avoid it. It's like,
I know.
It'd be a disservice to not talk.
I see a lot of people on my timeline upset, like how many people just like, that's all I've talked about all week. And I know it's the thing to talk about, but it's like,
you know what?
Here's your Pacers refresher, man.
Here's what I'm going to say. I believe in Frank Reich's ability to make a backup quarterback look good for a certain stretch of time. He didn't fill it with Nick Foles. I think he can make Brissett look good for 4 weeks. I don't think Andrew Luck's injury is debilitating. We'll see what happens.
I genuinely don't know.
The team is good. I mean, the team is deeper just as a team. I don't know. I mean, obviously, if he can't score more than 10 points, it's not going to matter, but the team is a deeper team from 1 to 53.
That's good. We'll see.
We'll see.
That's good. The Vikings have a better line, which should help them be at least as good as last year. That's about all I know.
I mean, they were – one game would have made the playoffs. Right? If Kirk Cousins didn't screw up their last game, they would have made the playoffs. So,
yep. Shut up.
No, that's like as a positive. Like they were like they could have gotten the playoff in the sixth seed, and Philadelphia almost made it to the NFC.
Their line was so bad last year that it's like, all right, they can't. You know, things will just be better from that.
Sick and Kirk Cousins, no firing offensive line or offensive coaches.
No Dalvin Cook injury.
Exactly. I don't know. I like Minnesota's chances. They got a good year going for them.
Yeah, they could. They could be solid. Kirk is way overpaid to me, but he's at least good, and that's all I can ask for my quarterback, so we'll see what happens.
Yep, that's fair.
That was a fun ending. All right, next week.
Adam's football 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll do another one next week, and we'll also talk about Miles officially making Team USA because that's for sure going to happen. Yes. They're only making one cut, and he's better than Mason Plumlee, and if they don't cut a center, then he obviously makes the team. So we'll talk about him making the team next year. We could talk more about some of this Oladipo stuff that's come out. We could talk about, I don't know, we'll figure something out. The last episode of August is usually the hardest episode of the year.
We'll do an Andrew Luck injury for We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I know we will.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Something interesting always pops up. You know, we could do. I have one on topic. I guess we'll see. All right, you got anything else, Adam?
No, I'm good. I'm glad we did the exercise. I think it did help both of us.
That's
put in perspective the season, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.